Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. Congratulations to all the brothers and sisters and the believers across the world upon the 15th of Sha'ban, the auspicious birth anniversary of the Imam of our time, Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. In order to talk a little bit about Imam al-Mahdi and this reappearance and the 15th of Sha'ban, we have humbly invited Sheikh Muzaffar Haider to discuss with us some of these things. So let's go ahead and invite him to the talk show. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Wa alaikum salam, thanks for having me.
Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, so again, we are in this occasion of celebrating the 15th of Sha'ban, the birth anniversary of the Imam of our time, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And I know it's a very vast subject with different dimensions and aspects that can be spoken about. But, you know, I mean, if you could just kind of enlighten us a little bit about this whole concept of reappearance, of the zuhur, and in the name of Allah, bismillah.
In the name of Allah. It is one of the biggest Eids,
yes,
incredibly important days that we have, because it rejuvenates and reminds us of our purpose here in life, actually.
Right.
The Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We did not create the jinns, or human beings, except that they worship me, they worship Allah. Right. In order to reach the heights of your potential in your worship, in your servitude to Allah, you need to have a leader.
Right.
You need to have a, not just any leader, you need to have a ma'asum, in the traditional sense, leader.
Infallible.
Infallible, right, as they say. Although the word infallible, there are some people who take issue with that because it implies that, you know, the person does not have the ability to sin, kind of like a robot. It just does what it's programmed to do.
I didn't know that's what the inner context perhaps of infallibility was.
Yeah, so some people say immaculate is better because that shows that the imams, the Ahlul Bayt, the prophets, they had the ability to sin, but they chose not to. And this is precisely what Imam Mahdi is. You know, he is the son of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the son of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the son of 9 imams after him.
Right.
10 imams after him.
Right.
Maths is not my strongest subject.
And genealogy isn't mine, so bad combination.
Genealogy isn't yours?
Genealogy means like the father of the father of the son of the father.
So anyway.
The son of Lady Fatima Zahra.
You can't leave that out. But yeah, he is infallible in that sense. You know, he's immaculate. He is ma'asum. And you need to have that perfect role model, that perfect leader present in order for humanity to reach its maximum potential.
Right.
I mean, that's quite intimidating if you think about it, right?
Also,
because look, people don't realize what the zuhur is of Imam Mahdi, right? That final moment of reaching those peaks, when we're saying that humanity is going to reach its peak, a lot of people are just, you know, that they might have a blank idea of what that means.
Sure.
So first of all, let's say the scientific peak, right? They are scientifically going to be so advanced that right now we cannot imagine what our, you know, the generations after us will actually accomplish. It is almost unfathomable, right? So if all knowledge, according to a hadith, if all knowledge were the letters of the alphabet, then before the zuhur, we will have only discovered, collectively, as a species, we will have only discovered one of those letters. After the zuhur of Imam Mahdi, we're going to discover the other letters. Right. So we look at the technology today, we look at cars and aeroplanes and cybernetics, and we look at the internet and, you know, mass communication, and everybody's got a phone in their pockets, and we're like, wow, oh my God, this is nothing. The future generations are going to look back at us as though we were cavemen. They're going to look back at us and go, oh my God, they were so clunky. They were so, you know, behind. How did you live? How did you survive?
Yeah.
You know, they are going to... The knowledge is going to be phenomenal.
Right.
So that's the first thing. Second thing, in terms of their spirituality,
sure.
Right? So, because knowledge, oftentimes when the ahadith are talking about it, it may not necessarily be talking about just technology.
Right,
when we
right.
talk about science in the modern climate, people automatically assume that we're talking about just technology. No, that's almost a repercussion. It's a side effect of humanity
sure.
having a certain level of knowledge. No,
sure.
that knowledge will lead to spirituality of peaks that one can only imagine once again.
Right.
Because we really are in a dark place right now.
Sure.
We
yes.
really, really are. And it's going to get darker as well. One of the ahadith says that the tears of the believers will be flowing
right.
constantly because of their craving for the dhuhr of Imam Mahdi, right? Just
yes.
before the dhuhr. Another hadith, you know, all the viewers may have heard it already, but I'll just allude to it now. The believers are going to be filtered. They're going to be filtered and filtered and filtered. And each filtration process is going to be tremendously painful. It's going to take its toll on our spiritual energies. It's going to make us feel heavier. That's what's happening right now,
right.
To a lesser or greater extent. Okay, so after this, though, we're going to reach a spiritual peak. There's nobody who can say it better than Imam Khamenei. And the way that he describes it is, throughout history, humanity has been like different streams. You looked at the water cycle, right? In geography,
right, right.
when they teach you about how the water cycle works,
right.
and it starts off as little trickles of rainwater, and then it becomes streams, and the streams become, rivers.
Right.
They all come together. So all of these different paths, so to speak, they're all going to merge, and they're going to come together. And it's almost like you're coming out of these little alleyways and you're reaching now the highway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this wide expanse, and you can go very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to reach. So if you imagine humanity reaching that highway and just like soaring off, that's what we're going to see spiritually and in terms of science and technology and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the second thing.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing, what are we going to see? We're going to see the end of injustice.
Interesting.
Should have been the first thing, but it's the third
right,
thing.
Right.
We're going to see the end of injustice.
Right.
Right? It should
Finally.
Bring tears to our eyes, right?
Thank God.
And this doesn't mean that injustice is entirely going to disappear, right?
Right, right?
But let's say that the world right now is 90% unjust and 10% just. After the dhuhr, it will flip. So it will be 10% unjust and 90% justice. And that's good enough.
Right.
That's the kind of world I want to raise my children in.
And I mean, it would seem like, in today's world, you see that the injustice that is being committed on a governmental level.
Mm.
So at least at this point, with the reappearance and with the kingdom and the justice of Imam al-Mahdi, at least the injustice on a governmental level is going to stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I mean, societies operate both ways to a lesser or greater
extent. So for example, so once Imam Mahdi establishes his kingdom of God on earth,
mm.
right, you don't have these kind of arrogant powers.
Right. Okay, yeah.
So the UK or, I don't know, maybe China or the United States of America, these players are no longer there from the top down to impose injustice
yeah.
upon the people.
Yeah. But one way to look at it as well is, you know how in different parts of the world, they often look at places like America and the West and they say, you know, we want to send our children there for university.
Right, right.
We want to look up to them. We want to wear the same clothes as them. You know, we have to ask ourselves, why is it that across the world, you know, you go as far as Japan,
sure.
they wear suits and ties, right? Is that the traditional clothing of Japan? No,
not or even America, right. for that matter.
Even
it's
America,
not the traditional...
but it's a cultural invasion that's taken place over
right.
the centuries,
right.
and it's happened because these three things, the not justice itself, but the idea of justice, the idea of freedom, has been in the hands of the enemy. It's been in the hands of the great Satan of America. The science, the technology of the world has been in the hands of the Tawhut,
right?
Right, and spirituality too, the illusion of it has been in the hands of the enemy. You know, it's been defining what spirituality is through the media and through
what good and evil is as well.
What good and evil is itself. But see, when all of those come to the Muslim world, and when the Muslim world is now, you know, powerful in these three things, the rest of the world will start to look at it and take guidance from it and try to imitate it. Right, and then you're going to have people, for example, in the West, they're going to say, I want to send my child to Iraq to study in university.
Right.
You know, that you're going to have some guy in Japan, and he's going to be like, oh, no, I want to go to, I don't know, Lebanon and study or create a movie over there, you know. It's going to be completely the opposite. And it really is a beautiful thing to think. Of just how bright the future is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the surah of the Quran, Surah Nasr, let's recite it for a moment, right? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath wa ra'aita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir innahu kana tawwaba. So it says that when you see the victory of Allah and the help, right? And you see the people entering into the religion in droves, in flocks.
Yes.
At that point, what are you supposed to do?
Right, praise to Allah.
Praise to Allah and repent. Why? Why did Allah place repent here? This has always bothered me. Praise Allah, I can understand, you know. Let's celebrate, Ya Allah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, you know, everybody getting happy, his Eid and stuff. All right, that's all great. Why is istighfar? That's generally seen as a sad thing, right? Well, first of all, it's not a sad thing,
right?
First of all, istighfar is basically accepting that Allah has so much mercy on us that despite our shortcomings, He's going to help us to compensate for what we fell short on.
Right.
But secondly, that istighfar may be alluding to the idea that before any great change, before the victory of any revolutionary movement, there are only a few people who push for it, right? And then after it is successful, as they say, success drives, droves of people will kind of jump onto the bandwagon and say, oh, it's successful, and they'll all be part of it now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So when the Prophet initially started his mission, there were very few people, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Sayyidah Khadija, salam Allah alayha, and the first initial sincere companions of the Prophet. After it was successful, you saw that the entirety of Makkah, all of those people, even some of the hypocrites like Abu Sufyan and the chieftains of the tribes, they were like, yeah, I'm Muslim, you know, because when that victory comes, everybody jumps on board,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
So the same thing's going to happen. Before the Dhuhr, there's going to be a very small number of people who push for that global revolution, right? Very, very small and unique number of people. May Allah help us, inshallah, to, even if we can't become one of them, to at least become the helpers of those people. They push for it, but when it becomes a victory, when it becomes victorious, for example, when the Dhuhr happens,
sure,
and then the events that happen subsequently, everybody's going to come on board, inshallah. You know, the masses are going to be like, wow, it is victorious. We want to be part of that. And then they jump on board. At that point, these people need to repent, man. I need to repent as well. Why? Because I didn't believe that we would actually be victorious.
Right.
I had doubts the entire time, even if I was striving for the cause, before the victory took place, I was having constant doubts. Maybe Allah won't make it happen. Maybe we won't be victorious. Maybe this movement won't reach that place where I'm envisioning it to reach, right? All that time, shak. Doubt. You need to do istighfar for all of that, because those doubts stopped you and slowed you down from doing the best that you could have done.
Right. And this is interesting. So if we just talk about this kind of active waiting, one of the first steps of, even passive waiting, is to get out of this shak and to have this awakening and to have this certainty that this is going to happen. Of course, it's going to happen, when the people step up to the plate and they do something about it. But this whole idea of doubt and well, I'll just wait and see, I'll sit on the sidelines, you know, the situation is not good, is actually making the condition worse.
Yeah, it is. I don't know what response we're going to give to Imam Zaman. Those who are saying Ajjal Farajahum, but they're not doing anything at all, for example, for the global movement, right, for Yemen or for Palestine or for Syria or for Iran or for Iraq or the Muslim world,
right,
you know, those who are comfortably living under the taghuts out there, they're living under the systems of oppression, whether it's Canada or America or France or Germany, doesn't matter. Those systems which are openly supporting regimes as tyrannical as the Saudi regime, which is just the brutality that they, I don't even need to tell you, Sayyid, what yes, they're doing yes. in Yemen. Yes. You know, you're comfortably living under those systems and you're saying Ajjal Farajahum? You're saying Ajjal Farajahum. You're saying, oh Allah, hasten his reappearance. What are you going to do when it happens?
Mm. Right. You're going to be caught up with the same guys what they're trying to get rid of.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
At least at that point, you know, when it does happen, you see it on TV and you're like, this is really happening. You know, the world is going to be on its feet. You'll notice, Sayyid, it's really interesting that news nowadays, it just ceases to interest us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Muslims, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he said that one who wakes up in the morning and is unaware or unconcerned with the affairs of the Muslims, he's not a Muslim.
Right. Sure, right.
So we have to be in touch with what's going on in the Muslim world. But even then, it's become almost like, oh, I don't care anymore. You know, you turn on the news, you look at press TV or whatever, and you're just like, oh, what? Who cares? Even big things are happening, by the way. You know, look at the protests that just recently took place, the huge protest, they're calling it a revolution in Canada.
Mm.
Look at what's happening in Nigeria, look what's happening in other places too. They're really big things. Boris Johnson, is hilarious, you know. Boris Johnson in the UK, you know, he is being mocked left, right and centre by his own cabinet, by others in the parliament as well, and the general people,
yeah.
Who voted for him, by the way. They themselves are like, no, we want Boris to go. People are so fickle, it's so irritating. But anyway, whatever.
You know, COVID also did a big number. It's like, yeah. COVID really desensitized the world.
Yes, absolutely.
The first year yeah. was really bad, and, you know, people dying. And after that, it really desensitized you. Even though, for example, apparently the U.S. is going to try to attack Russia, or Russia is going to try to attack Ukraine.
Yeah, this whole Ukraine thing is happening
This is
right
a big
now.
Deal, you know. And
it's like, a huge deal. If it had happened in 2010, you know, I'd be in school with my classmates going, oh my God, there's going to be a war and stuff. Nobody cares about anything anymore. Yeah. Do you know why? Because Allah needed to take the world to a certain place where no news is important anymore except for that one news. And what's that one news going to be? Yeah. It's happened. The Dhuhr has happened.
Mm.
There is a man outside the Kaaba and he is announcing that he is the Mahdi. And he is calling his sincere followers, those who have been striving for his reappearance, to come. And you're going to see it on the news. Now, at that moment, when you see it, is your heart not going to just shatter into 1,000 pieces inside you? Your eyes are just going to explode with tears. You're going to feel dizzy. You're going to feel nauseous. You're going to feel like you are dreaming. You're going to imagine that this is not happening right now, but it is, right? Now, those who believed and had certainty that it is going to happen whenever Allah chooses for it to happen, it's going to be a slightly different story for them, right?
Sure,
because
sure.
Number one, they're already going to be there. Right, wherever they need to be in order to serve that revolution of Imam Mahdi.
Right, right.
And secondly, when you believe in the promises of Allah and you know certain things, it's not so much of a shock when it happens.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the disbelievers or those who have doubts. They are the ones who are truly going to be shaken and shocked. And they're going to be almost running around like headless chickens, not knowing what to do or where they should be or what they're supposed to feel right now and stuff. So
I hope, well, I mean, I think because we're rounding about towards the end of the whole thing. And again, we want to thank you for taking time out, coming to the Islamic Pulse talk show, talking about the 15th of Shaban, this anniversary of Imam al-Mahdi. And inshallah, may we all be alive to witness that day when that reappearance come and that call does come out from the Holy Kaaba in the city of Mecca. And that may we all have the tawfiq and the grace to be able to join this Imam when he makes his call. And of course, that takes making a decision today and taking steps in the present day. Sheikh Muzaffar Haider, thank you for joining us. Allah bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, Allah. Thanks for having me.
And dear viewers, again, thank you for joining us on this 15th Shaban special Islamic Pulse talk show. Until next time, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.